Let's pray and then we'll get into the word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your many blessings, Lord, and ask you to be with us tonight as we look at your word, Lord. It's your word that ministers to our hearts, and we know that. That's why we're here, Lord. And we just give you the glory, we give you the praise, Lord, and thank you, Father, for steering us the way you have this week and protecting us in the travels that some have had, and that you would just use us, continue to use us, Lord, as we are your vessels, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. Got them stuck in my pocket there. We're going to take it a little bit at a time, but just some things to remember back in chapter 6 that kind of stood out to me anyways. It was in verse 23. He brought us out from there that he might bring us in. And I think that's we sometimes got to remember that. That scripture there reminds us of how the Lord is. And sometimes when we look at these scriptures for Israel, sometimes we forget that it's applicable to our lives. You know, it's not just to speak to Israel, but it's also so to speak to us. He's brought us out of something to bring us into something, and it's just a good reminder, I think, anyways, that the Lord impressed upon me that He's made us new for a reason. You know, it's because He wants to use us, right? He makes new creations because He wants to use us, because the old vessels that we were unusable, unfit for the kingdom. So He's made us into something special. God's people are special. So He's brought us out of there to bring us in. The other verse that stuck out to me in chapter 6 was verse 14. And it says, you shall not go after other gods of the people who are all around you. And, just as they were there, as they went into the land, they would be consumed, in a sense, with all the gods of that land. And, of course, it starts out that chapter here in chapter 7 with kind of a understanding of all these nations and their paganists, and how they just had all this strange worship going on, that wasn't fitting for our king. And so God was warning them that when you get into this land, it looks so promising, right? That's why they called it the promised land, because it was so promising. And God promised it, there's going to be these temptations. There's going to be these outliers. And even in our world today, we just need to be careful, right? That we keep our eyes on the Lord, because it is tough to live holy in this world, which is really to be set apart, right? So we pick up in verse 1 here. It says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. He says, when is a big word there, when the Lord brings you into the land. For Moses, it wasn't a matter as if the Lord would do this. It was all about when he would. Because he trusted, he knew that the Lord was going to do this for the nation of Israel. He was going to bring him into that promised land. And it says there too, as well, you know, that not only was God going to bring them into the land, but he was, it says he and has cast it out, meaning that it's already done. You know, it's past tense there. God, in God's mind, it already occurred. In Moses' mind, it's already occurred. You know, when God promises us something, it's already done, right? We can count on it. You know, as they say, we can take it to the bank, right? We can count it and take it to the bank. Because he's faithful, right? He's a faithful God and his people, you know, and the whole thing about, I think anyway, is, you know, this chapter is to encourage the next generation to be faithful as well, right? God is always, that's a constant, always faithful. We as his people have to be always trying to be faithful, you know? It's so hard, isn't it, to be faithful? You know, we wake up in the morning, we're refreshed. You know, we go to Sandy Cove and we're refreshed. You know, it's easy to be faithful among the brethren in a sense, but it's harder when we're in the world, when there's all these temptations and distractions and all this stuff, right? So it's a constant battle. And he says, seven nations greater and mightier than you. Wait a minute, Moses. You know, they're mightier than Israel? They're greater than Israel? Moses recognized their greatness. He looked at these seven nations and he recognized their greatness. He recognized their power. But it is not overwhelmed. He isn't overwhelmed by it. Why? Because he's trusting in the Lord. He's fearing the Lord, and he's not being fearful of the circumstances. He's not being fearful of these nations, even though, you know, they're mightier. Because he knows that his God has brought them out of Egypt in the grips of the Pharaoh's hands under the bondage of Pharaoh. He brought them out. He understands the greatness. He understands that it wasn't him that raised the waters in the Red Sea so that they could pass through. He understood that it wasn't him that provided the manna for them to eat. It wasn't Moses that provided the quail. You know, he understood that God was mightier and greater than any of these nations. And I think us Christians really need to understand that as well. We need to take that to heart. He's greater than our circumstances. He's greater than anything that could oppose us. And it goes on and it says, and when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make a no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. There was some strong words here. Make no covenant, make no promises, make no alliance, no agreement with them. Have no mercy on them. Show no mercy. You know, Moses was speaking for the Lord here, that they would totally destroy these nations. It says in verse 3, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor their daughter for your son. No matter how attractive it might look, no matter how big their bank accounts are, right? The alliances, God didn't want them to take up alliances with the nations in which God was going to push away or destroy, really. No alliances. It says, for this reason, for they will turn your sons away from following me. You know, that's the most important thing. They could all look good on paper. Right? The backing, the financial backing might look great. But look at, it's going to turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Here's the reason. The reason why God doesn't want there to be drawn alliances or covenants with these people was because it would harm the sons, their sons. It would harm their daughters. Right? That's why we are so, you know, conscious of that with our children, right? We should be praying for our children, right? That they would find themselves godly spouses so that they would, you know, they wouldn't be drawn away. We don't want our kids to be drawn away, you know, and follow some other god and forsake the Lord, you know. Verse 5 there, but thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. You know, God doesn't want any remnant here. You know, he doesn't want anything left over. This is total destruction here. You know, the best way, you know what the best way, I think one of the best ways probably to divert sin is to eliminate temptation, right? Because that's what the Lord would teach his disciples to pray against temptation, right? He would, let us not be tempted, Lord. And, you know, to be tempted isn't the sin, right? It's the taking on of, you know, to grab hold of that temptation and walk with it. Right? So we hear the Lord is saying, I want you to take any of these temptations to follow after other gods, and I want you to burn the altars. I want you to get rid of them. I want you to destroy them. God would bring them to this place so that he could bring them to a place of faithfulness. You know, I think about my own life. Why am I not as faithful as I wish I was? Right? And I think some of it is because I'm too attached to this world. I'm too faithful to man. Too faithful to man. I make agreements with man and over agreements with God. I have a hard time saying no. I was telling Noah this before. It's hard to say no. Right? Somebody comes to you with a job and you say, sure, I can do it. Well, the truth is I can do it. That's not the problem. The problem is scheduling. Right? I want it done in 3 weeks. Okay. And guess what Fred does? He does it, but it kills him. Just about. And it puts aside my priorities is what happens. And you know, as I was talking with the Lord even this week, I was like, Lord, you know, we're not here just to build houses. Right? We're here to be faithful to him. We're here just to be faithful. Does God call us any higher calling than to be faithful? I don't know what it is if there is such a calling that's greater than being faithful. I really don't know what it is. And he challenges us on it. And God expects out of us to have devotion to him. To have obedience, to do what he asks us to do. You know, I heard Joe Foch say, and I shared this with Noah this week, is that one of his devotionals I was listening to. They're only 3-minute devotionals if you ever wanted just to get on and see Joe Foch and see his devotionals on his website there. But one of the things he was talking about was devotions. He says, I know, devotions are good. We get up in the morning, we do devotions. Right? And it's good, right? But it doesn't stop there. And God's not looking for devotions. He's looking for people that are devoted. Right. He's not. Don't be devoted to the devotion. Be devoted to the one that even makes sense of the devotion. Right. I mean that has made sense of a man like me. You know, just be devoted to him. That's our devotion. Our devotion isn't to this world. Our devotion isn't to satisfy this world. Our devotion isn't to put up with this world. Right. Our devotion is to him. Right? We're to be devoted to him. We're not devoted to others like we're devoted to him. I'm not saying don't keep your word. I'm not saying, you know, don't say things or whatever that you can uphold, but just be devoted to the Lord, you know. Don't be afraid to, you know, in my case, you know, if somebody pulls a job from me because I can't deliver on a timely basis, guess what? God still provides for us. Right? He still does it. Are we faithful enough just to speak truth and allow that to be enough? You know? And I think that's, you know, that's my heart. That's, hey, I'm just spilling the beans here for you. I, you know, something that the Lord's really been kind of churning on me this week. And I just, you know, I feel just like it, you know, that's what he's saying. He's saying, I want you totally devoted. You know, I want you just to obey what I've asked you to do. You know, I think our number one enemy, at least in my case, is myself. Right? When it, you know, so often I have my devotions mixed up. We firmly grasp onto those things that are not even worthy to be held onto for very long. And we forget that our devotion is to him, that we love him, and we want to do everything we can to follow his ways, his commands, because we love him. And we know he gives us these commands. Why? Because he loves us and he wants the very best for us. He doesn't throw these commands at us and say, you know, I want to stifle you. I want to control you. No, I want to bring my very best to you. You know, and I think that's an awesome love of the Father there. Verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all the people. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God would set his love on them, you know, and as I think about that, God has set his love on us through the death and the resurrection of Christ. You know, he set his love on us through that act of love. Why should they do what the Lord says to them? For you are a holy people to the Lord. That's the reason. Because we're set apart. That's the reason why God's people does what the Lord asks of them. Because they're set apart. They're set apart to the Lord. What a privilege it is. You know? Secondly, you know, why they should do as the Lord has asked them is because they were God's chosen people, just as we are. He could have chosen anybody, but he didn't. You know, don't you scratch your head and wonder what the Lord was thinking at the time he chose Israel, knowing their faults that would be, right? Because he just knows everything. But he chose them, kind of like us. He knows where we're going to falter. He knows where we're going to stumble. It's not a surprise to God. It might be a surprise to us that we stumble in such a way. Or another brother and sister in the Lord might stumble and we might go, wow, I can't believe that. But God's not surprised by it. But he still wants to use those vessels that are cracked. Because, see, a weak vessel can, in the eyes of the world, can bring glory to the Lord. Because there's nothing more to give, right? We can't hold anything. We can't, we're thrown on the curb, you know. God can really be glorified through his people that he's chosen. Thirdly, they could not possibly do anything, right? Or even survive outside the sovereign hand of God. They were small, they were insignificant in the eyes of the world. It says there that they were least of all people. And last but certainly not least is that God loved them. Can you wrap your hands around that? Can you wrap your head around that? That God loves you. That's why he has chosen you. God set his love on us. Set his love on Israel here. And it says, therefore, you know, God told them to do all this stuff, and he tells them he loves them, and he set them apart. He says, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandment. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes and judgments, which I command you today to observe them. Here we see, you know, the God that judges, the God of justice. Therefore, know, he says, that I am God, he says. He is God. He's sovereign over all, from the smallest to the largest. He's the creator of the heavens and creator of the earth. There's no task too big for him. He's all that. It says he is faithful. And of course, we mentioned that before. He is faithful, always upholding his end. Right? Always true. He's merciful. He's merciful to those that he chose, those that love him. We don't have to worry that God will turn the table and show us no mercy. He wants and he loves to extend his hand of mercy. Why? Because that's his character, you know. He loves to see somebody as one of his chosen and be able to extend the hand of mercy. You know, I was having a conversation with a man this week, and he said, he was actually the guy that fixed or inspected our boiler this week. I didn't know him from Adam. I never met him. Well, I didn't know. I know Adam, but I didn't know him from Adam. But, you know, and we got into a conversation. It was a God thing, you know, and God just sent him here to us. And, you know, one of the things that really gave us great conversation was that he says, I don't know, I have that guilty Catholic feeling. I have that guilty Catholic thing going on. You know, I was able to share the gospel with him. It was a pretty neat thing, you know. But, you know, my message to him was that God loves to extend his hand of mercy to you. You know, and if you're a child of God, there is no condemnation, right? Do we do wrong? Yeah, we do wrong. Do we feel guilty? Sure, certainly we do. Guilt is not a bad thing. It's when it's programmed wrongly. When guilt comes about us because of some sin that we did, God gives us a way out, doesn't He? He says if we come to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us, right? And He reinstates us into this fellowship. That's an awesome thing. And He extends, basically, His hand of mercy on us. But some sit on the other side and is all condemned. They don't know what to do with it. So, man, go to His throne of grace. You know? But He's always there to extend that. It says in verse 10, and at the same time, He's a God of mercy. He's also a God of judgment, right? And we can't pull them two apart. You know, they belong to Him. That's who He is. So often in this world, do we make a big deal about God's love, but you know how God loves you. But when somebody's in deep sin, we don't want to express to them that God's going to judge you, because that's the way He is. If you repent, He'll show you mercy. You know, and so, you know, so at the same time, here he goes, you know, and He repays those who hate Him to their face. You know, this shouldn't be a surprise, right? His justice will win out. Never think that the wicked have an upper hand on the Lord. So often do we say, well, that guy's always prospering over there. Why is he always, you know, able to do what he does? Does God just overlook that? You know, and sometimes that's what we think. But remember, God knows it all. You know, and these are folks that, you know, we talked about this before, right? That did the kings that did evil in the sight of the Lord. You know, that was in your face, God. We're going to do this no matter what you say. Right? We talked about blatant disobedience and blatant obedience last time. We need to have that blatant obedience. These are the people that have the blatant disobedience. They're just going to do it right in His face, you know, just, I don't care what you say, Lord. It says there that He will not be slack. He won't, you know, His judgment will fit the crime at the very appropriate time. Might not be our timing, but, you know, it'll fit, right? When we look at what's going on in this world, I mean, many of us think, what's this Putin doing, man? You know, what's this guy, man? He's as evil, Lord, and wicked as he. Don't worry about him. Just be faithful to the Lord, because the Lord is just. He'll take care of him in due time. You know? And he'll repay him to his face. You know, I hear people say sometimes, well, when I see the Lord, I've got a thing or two to tell Him. Is that so? You know, is that so? Those that think that God owes them some sort of explanation for His timeliness, or perhaps in our book, are His untimeliness, right? Well, He just might. He might give you that explanation. But it says here He will repay him to his face. You know, God isn't like us, man. He'll confront somebody when He needs to confront them. Sometimes, don't you feel that? I don't want to confront this person because I know what's going to happen. Don't worry. Nobody's got the upper hand on God. When God decides to do this, well, He'll do it. And He goes on in verse 11 there, he says, therefore you shall keep the commandments and statutes and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. Just an encouragement there, just to keep walking with him. Look at God's going to take care of all of this. Take care of all of this. Goes on in verse 12, it says, then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock in the land in which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you and among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Also, you shall destroy all the people whom the Lord your God delivers over to you. Your eyes shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. So it's like, wow, well, you know, what blessings to look forward to, right? What blessings to look forward to. Many, many blessings would follow obedient Israel. And I think that's the key word to underline there, is just obedient, you know. But it comes with tough obedience, right? It comes with tough obedience. Sometimes God asks us to do certain things that we're just not willing to do. You will destroy. You shall destroy. Often I ask the Lord, you know, Lord, show me my heart. Show me my heart. Have you ever asked the Lord that? Show me my heart, Lord. Forget about everybody else's heart, Lord. You know, I don't need to see anybody else's, Lord. I just need my heart. And I ask him that. And he's faithful. And he says, Fred, here's your heart. And then I say, well, Lord, can you give me eyes that I don't see? Right? I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that movie. That's a bad movie, Lord. That can't be my heart, you know. And you know, we miss the blessing of the Lord, because we never deal with it, you know. And it says there in verse 16, for that will be a snare to you, you know. Sin is like a snare, right? And if you're familiar at all with snares, if you ever go to buy one and you're going to use them in New York State, it's illegal, okay? I don't know what you California fruit and nuts used to do out there, but it's illegal to use them in New York State. So what a snare does, though, it's very bad. You know, if you set a snare for an animal, it basically, you know, you lock it into a stake or so forth, and it's a loop, and when the animal gets in it and they try to pull away, the more they pull, the worse it is. And eventually it kills them, you know. It's nasty, you know. That's why it's illegal. It's inhumane, right? Well, think of sin as our snare, you know. Do we want to, you know, it squeezes us and squeezes us and squeezes us, right, until it almost cuts us in half, right? And maybe it does cut us in half. Maybe it does get us to that point where we're broken. Have you ever seen those people? I remember JP, man, he got to a point where it was like that snare of sin just cut him in half, and he finally got to the place where he was broken enough to hear the Lord, you know. And so But we don't have to let it get that far, right? We can ask the Lord, Lord, show me my heart and be very acceptant of that. Lord, I do want to hear that. You know, I do want to hear what you have to say. Verse 17, if you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the people of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until those who are left, who hide themselves from you, are destroyed. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beast of the field becomes too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict a defeat upon them until they are destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into your hand. And you will destroy their name from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. Here, really, the scripture is saying, look at, you know, you should put your trust in the Lord. You should put your confidence in him. Right? You're right to do this, you know. Put your confidence in him. In verse 18 there, what did the Lord do? Remember what the Lord did. Remember what the Lord did to Pharaoh in Egypt, right? Then today's struggles and circumstances don't seem so bad, maybe don't seem so difficult. If we could only remember what the Lord did in certain circumstances. He says there, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand, the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so shall the Lord your God do to all the people of whom you are afraid. He says, look at it. I'm the same God as I was then. You know, I can work these still work signs and wonders. I have a mighty hand. I have an outstretched arm. You know, we think of God's mercy there. And then, of course, this hornet there, it seems, you know, I didn't dig into that too deep, but it seems like a spirit of confusion there is sent. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until those who are left, who hide themselves from you, are destroyed. Lord will take care of them, right? He'll do the sending. He'll send the hornet. In verse 21, you shall not be terrified of them, right? We're to fear the Lord. We're to fear the Lord, not them. For the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. You know, God didn't expect them to be without peace in the midst of all this. He wanted them to be at peace, knowing that he is the great and awesome God. That's why we have peace during situations. You know, when somebody says to you, I don't understand all the things that you've been through, everything that you've faced in this life, why do you seem so calm? Why do you seem so relaxed through it all? Like nothing's happened. Well, it's the peace of the Lord. It's the understanding that he is the great and awesome God, right? I mean, that's what we have to, you know, really take with us, you know, is that he's in control. There's no one more awesome than he is. I don't think we can even say that about anything. You know how kids do. Wow, that's awesome, man. There's nothing that uses that word that really is true. But God is awesome. Kind of defines that word, doesn't he? And look at it's going to be in God's time. And it says in verse 22, and the Lord your God will drive out these nations before you, little by little. It would seem like God is stalling, or maybe he's not acting fast enough, little by little. Sometimes God's people want an abrupt ending to something. I want this over, Lord. I don't want to feel the pain, Lord. I want to be fit as a fiddle. You know, I want all this, Lord. You know, but God calls us to wait on him sometimes. Sometimes all the time, he knows the best, right, for us. He knows the best time to cure us and to heal us and to take away the pain. But during the painful times, if we're not careful and we're just so, you know, overtaken by the pain that we're just desiring to be out of that circumstances, out of that painful moment, sometimes we miss what the Lord is really trying to show us. Because of our complaining, our whining, you know. Verse 23 there says, but the Lord your God will deliver you. Deliver them over to you. And will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. You know, the message here is to have confidence in the Lord. Right? That he will deliver to you exactly who he will. And he goes on in verse 25, and you shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver and gold that is on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you be snared by it. There's that word snared. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. You know, he wants us to burn the images of their God. He doesn't want them to be any part of us, you know. He doesn't want us to desire anything that the world would seemingly have above us. And because it becomes a snare, it becomes, you know, instead of us waiting upon the Lord, instead of us trusting in the Lord, all of a sudden we're trusting in these things, you know. Often God would tell Israel to go into a territory, and sometimes he would tell them not to plunder it, right? Not to go in and take anything of it. Sometimes he would allow it. I think it was according to, you know, sometimes I think it was according to where their heart was with them at that time. Should they plunder it or not plunder it? If he's saying not plunder it, it's meaning they're going to put a lot of their hope and their trust into these things. You know? And so, you know, I think the message here is that as God's, we are God's chosen people, right? And certainly we want to obey him. We want to be stripped of sinful acts. We want to be stripped of anything that would be counter to him. And so we just want to be faithful, right? Faithful to the one. You know, every time God would say to them, you know, all the blessings, right? All these blessings and so forth. And then he says, but you have to destroy all these people. And for us, you know, it's more of a, yeah, we're going to be blessed, but you need to get some things right with me, you know, and maybe that's something, you know, and I think that's where the Lord has me today, is that it's like, he has to be my focal point, you know, he just has to be my focal point. Do I serve man or do I serve? Do I want to make man feel, you know, good, or do I serve the Lord? You know, let Him steer me. Anyways, let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this evening. Thank You, Lord, for Your word, Lord. Just pray, Lord, that we'd be more like You. Father, that we would see things the way You see them, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for loving us, Lord, for choosing us, for upholding us, Lord. Make us obedient people, Lord. Make us those that serve You well, Lord. We pray, Lord, that You change us into Your image. Have Your way with us, Lord, in all circumstances. We just praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.